the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, King Henry IV, Part 1. The two parts of King Henry IV are really more of a 10-act play than two separate plays that sort of tie together. And actually goes right into King Henry V. In many ways, King Henry IV, Part 1 anyway, and I haven't read Part 2 yet, which was written about 1597 to 1598, plays very much like King Henry V, the Prince years. Harry, as he keeps being called, is hanging with Falstaff and a bunch of thieves and ruffians, while his father is disappointed in him and dealing with civil war and people being unhappy with him, and Hotspur's is a hotshot and has put down some rebellion and yet refuses to pay homage to the king and wants certain assurances from the king, and so it sort of snowballs from there. Anyway, Hotspur has a lot of street cred with the public. The populace, I think, is what I was trying to go for there. And Harry is sort of viewed, he's too much amongst the common people, and later on in the play, King Henry IV says to Henry, who will be King Henry V, you gotta be more mysterious, you can't be out there with the people, you have a terrible reputation, it's all about mystery and magic and all that sort of stuff. That sort of stuff, what a terrible saying to have in there. Falstaff, the famous character of these plays, the sort of beastly man and gross, huge man who's sort of a great comic creation, is part of the more comedic elements of the play, and then there's like this historical play mashed together. It's a heck of a mashup. And while the Civil War is happening and King Henry IV is lamenting the fact that his son is sort of this goof-off, slacker, Falstaff is in the tavern with Harry, though Harry not really into the whole tavern scene, despite the fact that it implies that he is. He keeps saying how he'll show his better self later, and that he's fully aware of what's going on, and that his deeds later will be better because he's been doing this, and it's all strategic and that sort of thing. Falstaff has this plan where he's going to rob some people and take their money and with these thieves, and they've got this plan going. Harry and his cohort come up with a scheme to steal the money that Falstaff has just stolen as highwaymen, and see what story Falstaff makes up to say how he lost the money. I gotta tell you, being friends in Elizabethan England, you just were a jerk to each other. The whole thing is just, you keep pulling scams on each other and tricks and whatnot. Ultimately, Falstaff does tell this whopper of a tale about how he's fought off all these people, and the number keeps growing, and it's a famous scene where it's 7, then 11, then 28, or it's not 28. I can't actually remember what the numbers are, but Harry goes back to his father because the war is coming to a head, and Harry says, "Look, I know, I've been terrible at this, but I'm gonna do better, and I promise. I wish I were the man that Hotspur is, but I will fight to the end on this, and I'll prove my mettle." And as part of this, he brings Falstaff back into the army and gives him command of 150 troops, and they go into battle. And the king tries to negotiate a peace with various members of the rebellion, and those rebels decide not to tell Hotspur what's going on because, though he's young and may be dismissed, they, as old men who sort of spurred him on, will always have the air of rebel amongst them, or on them, and you can't really shake that ever. People will always look at you askance and misinterpret what you say, or there really is no way out for them except to do battle. And so they tell Hotspur that the king will give no quarter, is showing no mercy, we got to fight. They go to the fight, Harry, it's been told, has been willing to say to people, "Look, if just Hotspur and I will fight, we can save all these people." And ultimately, it does come down to those two, and Harry kills him, and with great regard. And the people, well, at least the soldiers, are impressed with how Harry handled himself in offering the one-on-one hand-to-hand combat type thing. And so was King Henry IV. And so, as they emerge triumphant, and Falstaff, who was playing dead at one point, claims that he is worthy of a hero's welcome. Harry agrees to sort of lie about it, if almost as a ruse and as a joke. Part one ends with them having to go and take care of the other rebellion or rebels that are on the list. It's like Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, really. So anyway, that's the basic plot outline. The famous elements of this this particular play has the famous line from Falstaff talking to Harry about banishment and you know, you should banish everyone, but for sweet Jack Falstaff, kind Jack Falstaff, true Jack Falstaff, valiant Jack Falstaff, and therefore more valiant being as he is old Jack Falstaff, banish not him thy Harry's company, banish not him thy Harry's company, banish plump Jack and banish all the world, which is a famous quote, obviously. I'm flipping through, and I've got little pieces of paper marking the little things that I should have marked a little bit better. Falstaff has a couple of monologues in there about what it means to have honor and what it means to be, you know, how silly war is, because if you get honor in war by dying, you can't have that. I mean, you can't enjoy it. You're already dead. There's a lot of existentialism in this. One of my favorite quotes from Falstaff, the one that a lot of people I think talk about from this, is the his 150 men. He Harry says, "I've never they're a ragtag band of you know, I can't believe I've never seen anything that bad." And Falstaff says, "Tut tut, good enough to toss food for powder, they'll fill a pit as well as better." You know, because I know I've heard that many a time, and so that's why I tossed that in there. Also, the famous discretion is the better part of valor in there, though it's worded slightly differently than that. I can't remember the exact phrasing at this moment in time. Falstaff, famous guy. As I said, though, very much King Henry V, the prince years, because Henry IV is, though, you know, a transition from Richard II of Bolingbroke to here. You know, nobody cares. We all care about Harry. And Shakespeare loved Harry, and it's very clear that he's a big Harry supporter. And you know what? That's my time. I've rambled on long enough on this one. King Henry IV, Part 1, or King Henry V, Part Naught Plus 1 something. I don't know. Who cares? Complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by me, Kevin Hanna. Stay tuned for Part 2.